Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, the Norm at Night. We're right here at the end of the road here in Cat Harbor, Virginia. Actually, we're not in Cat Harbor. We're in the plains, that's right. But we're still near the end of the road. Come June 30th, the Fat Left-Hander will be back in Bowie, Maryland. Seems like I've become a bump in the road this week, for, as the president says, you know, this unemployment, the rise to 9%, is just a bump in the road. Well, I'm one of those bumps. But what I'd like to talk about tonight is last night's presidential debate. As everyone knows, probably one of the biggest issues for Norm is, of course, the war in Afghanistan. I just want the wars to end. It's that simple. And I'm looking for a presidential candidate who will simply end this useless war in Afghanistan that, quite bluntly, no apparent national security. It's just hubris at best and abject stupidity. We killed Osama bin Laden. We drove the Taliban into Pakistan. Now it's up to the government Afghanistan to keep the Taliban out, if they can, or some kind of agreement with them. If they can't, be best team winning. Five lines open, 7-9-5-6-7-1-3. But that's such a charge on Paul in last debate. And everybody, you know, from Romney on down, well, I'll listen to the general. And what they tell me is the situation on the ground. Ron Paul says, what do you mean? I'm the commander. I don't tell me what to do. And I, hallelujah. Maybe I do somebody to vote for. Maybe it's just having a mind to expect the truth. Why does no one give us the truth? Doesn't appear that I have any callers tonight. Looks like I'm going to hear from Colt. Oh, well, that's a shame. Usually he's here by now. Excuse me, at least showing up. We're approaching the 33,000 mark in listeners. That's pretty amazing. And that makes me feel like we have something to say here on the Norm at Night show. So what do you think? Should the president tell the generals what to do? I think he should. What do you think about the war? Do you think we should be out? And what do you think about unemployment people being thought of as simply a bump in the road? It was an absolutely political ad made by the Romney campaign. I'm not sure it's fair, but it's absolutely the one where the people are laying on the road and they stand up and say, I'm not a bump in the road, I'm Norman Constantine, and I'll be unemployed on June the 30th or something to that effect. They don't actually say what I just said, but it's really effective. The only one that comes even close to it is the Democratic ad about the Republican view towards Medicare, where they push the old lady off the cliff in the wheelchair. Both of those are just brilliant advertising. The people that created them, both of those ads, the person who created those ads, should get a bonus for both sides, though. I think the bump in the road, hey, I got a caller coming in. Hold on. Go ahead. You're on with Norm. Caller? You're on with Wade? Here we go. Are you hearing me?
Oh, did you have me muted or something?
I think I did. Oh, wait a minute. I got to make my screen the right size here. I got to zoom up to, there we go. Now we're, can you hear me?
So what are you talking about, the debate last night? Or?
Oh, yes. I got all excited by Ron Paul.
Uh-huh.
I got such a kick of him. You know, when Romney makes his pontification about how he's going to listen to the generals, to the conditions on the ground, and I'll do what my generals tell me to do, and Ron Paul comes right after him. I don't know if you saw. What do you mean? I'm the commander-in-chief. The generals don't tell me what to do. I tell them what to do.
Yeah, he was good, too. I mean, obviously, he was the only person that brought up Iraq and Afghanistan and said that we need to get the hell out of eat both of them, and, you know.
Immediately, not, you know, 10 years down the road, immediately. And I believed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and, you know.
And I was also talking about the bump in the road political advertisement. Absolutely
brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some interesting ads, yeah.
I didn't think you could top pushing the old lady off the cliff in the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. And it was sort of obvious it was Paul Ryan, you know.
Oh, it was. But I think the bump in the road topped it.
Yeah.
It's, I guess I'm identifying with it since I'm about to come a bump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. You know, let's see. What they hit on a number of issues, you know. I mean, they got into the social issues first. And abortion, gay marriage, don't ask, don't tell, you know. And they gave the standard answers, you know. But most of them seem to want to just sort of pass it off and just say, well, you know, these are state issues and we'll let the states decide, you know, which is the easy way out, of course. Because then you're supporting states' rights and then you're not taking a position either. So, yeah.
I just, get me a job is second. Stop the war is first, in my book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't see how
Stop
you
the
do...
the war trumps everything.
Because you can't do any of these fiscal things you know, as far as deficit reduction and debt reduction and all the rest, until you curtail the military. You've got to do that.
Well, you know, and at least stop Iraq. I mean, Afghanistan, it's $1 billion a week.
Well, even Iraq, it's like, okay, we're there, we had a deadline to get out, and now you throw the ball back to them and say, well, if you ask us to stay, we will, you know. So, yeah, you're the president, right? You make the decision.
I agree.
I mean, our people there can evaluate the situation probably better than they can, you know, the Iraqis. And we say, well, you're there. You should be able to control this country and run it properly. And then that's that, you know.
I don't care how they run the company or the country. I don't care how they run it.
Yeah, I don't really care much either, you know.
And what's that latest? How much money's disappeared in Iraq?
But they've known about that. About that for years. I've known about it for years. The pallets of money from the Bank of New York?
But now nobody's pretending like it didn't happen.
Yeah, but years ago, I mean, I can remember in the New Yorker, Seymour Hersh was writing about this. I mean, these pallets would be kept in a building, and every day a little more would be missing. I mean, people would just walk by and grab a stack. I mean, it was that easy. That is what happened. And you had low-level command, like company commanders, guarding this crap. I mean, you know, there were captains who could care less about where it went. They didn't even know where it was supposed to go.
Oh, I know. I mean, it was billions.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But, you know, when they did do the reconstruction effort, you know, that was under Bremer's control. And he was the most, I mean, incompetent man you could consider. I mean, it was just reckless.
Right, I know.
And even then, all of the American companies that got contracts to build clinics, hospitals, schools, whatever, they never even went out to look at these damn things. They just hired people, you know, locals, or they hired people from other countries to come in. But the actual contractors would never leave the green zone. They were too afraid. I mean, it was still a very dangerous place at that time, you know. I mean, that much I can understand, but if you can't do the job, then don't take the contract, okay? So, I think...
I can't argue, that's for sure.
Yeah. Because I think just the local firm here, Bechtel, you know, Bechtel built like six small hospitals, and none of them are usable. I mean, they're absolutely a disaster, you know. But they got paid in full, you know. That's the way it went.
Oh, they always get paid in full.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, Ron Paul was the only person who spoke out against the war, and mostly...
Commander-in-Chief! The generals don't tell you what to do. I tell them what to do.
Well, exactly. I mean, he knows what the position is. He's probably one of the best authorities on the Constitution in the whole building, you know.
Well, I have some issues with his constitutional knowledge. But that's another. But finally, somebody to tell the generals where to go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of hearing about the generals. I'm sick about hearing about thank you for your service when one of the mercenaries calls in.
Yeah. Well,
you have a dog?
No, it's a neighbor's dog. Bing barks all the damn time.
These guys are probably getting paid 10 times as much as you got when you were in the Army.
Oh, yeah. We didn't, you know. I didn't, well, the
enlistment bonuses are sinful.
Oh, yeah. Even when I got out, they were offering tremendous bonuses. I mean, you know, depending on your skill, it could be as high as $10,000 bonuses.
Now they're six figures.
And that was in the 1980s, you know.
Right,
a lot of money.
Now they're six figures.
Yeah? Oh, Christ.
You're a bomb disposal guy, and you re-up, it's $100,000.
Yeah, I imagine if you're, let's say, like a linguist, you know, if you work for the, if you came out of the Defense Language School, which was also in Monterey, those guys were treated like gold. I mean, they, you know, because let's face it, we at that time we had no native speakers, you know, for Farsi or any of those many languages in the Middle East. So
my understanding is there's just stacks and stacks of documents in Arabic that will never be translated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably true. So, anyway, and let's face it, you know, once you do pull out, you don't need as many soldiers, and, you know, we don't have the enlistment problem anymore. So, but I mean, you know, how we can maintain, you know, whatever the number is, 600 plus bases overseas. I mean, this is craziness, you know. We've got to let these other countries build their own armies again. I mean, it's that simple, you know. Especially Japan, good God. And the Europeans. I mean, they have cut back their military dramatically, you know. That's how they save money. And now the only other ones were the British, and now they've slashed their military dramatically. So, you know, we can't expect the kind of support or backup we used to get from them in the future. It's just not there. Yep, well, so anyway, I guess consensus opinion is that Michelle Bachmann looked good, and I tend to agree.
You know,
I watched it.
She wasn't bad, I got to admit.
Yeah, she, you know, because she didn't, you know, she didn't get into the crazy stuff. You know, it isn't like some of the things she used to say. Although, should she win it, obviously all that crazy stuff is coming back, so, you know.
Well, and then there's the crazy black man.
Oh, yeah, Herman Cain, yeah.
Wouldn't that be something, two black guys run president of the United States? That would be absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, he started out all right, and then he got into religion, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, well. Speaking of people putting their foot in their mouth, how about LeBron James?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the, they could just go back to their pitiful lives. Jesus!
Well,
they could just go back to their pitiful lives.
Yeah, well, I guess so. And then he can stay in Miami and have a wonderful summer, I suppose. But he won't have that ring.
I would never spend, not that I was likely to spend very much, but after a remark like that, I'll never spend another penny on the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
At least my guy Dirk has got his NBA title.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that'll get him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, we got our team here for one more year, and they're planning to build a new arena for them. Now, here's the city, you know, I mean, we're in deep financial trouble. But all our time is spent worrying about this new stadium, you know, arena and whatever the hell else they're going to put in it. And keeping the basketball team. Yeah. So now, well, they figured out that the police and fire department here are very, very expensive. And so they offered them basically a deal where they would have to contribute, you know, there would be cuts in their pension or they had to lay people off. Well, all the old-timers decided they want to protect their pensions. So much for the brotherhood. So 80 cops are going to be taken off the streets. I mean, that's it. Now, wouldn't you take a pension cut to ensure that everybody is, you know, that everybody is going to still be on the job? Because if you stay on the job, now you're going to be overworked. There's 80 less people.
I
mean, there's no way they're going to have to bring volunteers in there to, like, run the desk and the phones and all that, which the sheriff's department's already doing that, you know. So, see, I don't quite understand that at all. But that's the problem with letting, you know, public employees unionize. You get into these situations where the public is in jeopardy and there isn't anything we can do about it.
Stop. The public has no right to abuse workers. And they need to be allowed to collectively gather and collectively bargain.
Yeah, but you see what's happening. You see, now, when my house gets robbed, I'll probably have to give a report over the phone because nobody's going to come here. It's already like that with cars. Somebody breaks in your car, nobody's coming.
Well, that's between you and your local government.
Yeah, well, my government was bought by the unions, and now we're paying the price.
No, you're not paying the price at all. You're paying the price because God bless the politicians don't have the stones to give them reasonable wages and pensions.
Reasonable? Do you know
yes.
how many of these people retire with six-figure retirements?
Nobody stopped. Anybody.
Well, yeah, you want to blame the politicians, but, you know, it's like this. If the mafia buys a politician, who do I blame, the mafia or the politician?
Both.
Right, exactly. So why do you want to give the unions a pass on this?
I don't give corporations a pass
when they buy out people.
And if a union doesn't have the right to strike, you might as well not have the union.
Well, guess what? These are police. They can't go on strike. I guess they can do their sick outs. They do that every once in a while.
Well, I think they should be able to collectively bargain and go on strike.
But see, that's the source of the corruption.
How can exercising your rights as a worker be the source of corruption?
Look, it has a different, it's different in the private sector. Far different.
No, it isn't.
Absolutely.
I don't think that it is.
Let's say I want a raise. And let's say I had a job and I wanted a raise, and I had the ability to donate money to my boss prior to my annual review where I get the raise. Now, that's where the unions are. The unions are giving these guys tons of money, campaign contributions, and whatever else. the same way the corporations are taking these guys out on hunting trips and golf courses and all the rest of it, you know. And when you have that environment, invariably it's going to be corrupted. And it is. So I'm just giving you a specific example of where it doesn't work.
Collective bargaining always works.
But not in government. Now, we have another thing with our garbage collectors. They are absolutely incompetent. I never know when my garbage is going to get picked up anymore. We have no idea. They have no idea. At any given time, 10% of them are either on vacation or out work, or, you know, out sick.
I guess.
So now, what do we want to do? We want to outsource the whole damn thing. We can hire waste management, and they'll come down here and do the whole job for less money and more service.
Well, you could do the job.
We want to fire all those. I won't say that. You know, I have a nasty word for them.
You can't fire someone because they collective bargain.
Yeah, well, I've had my garbage sit on the street for 3 freaking weeks. Do you understand? Now we've got health issues.
They shouldn't have laid off the garbage men.
Nobody laid off the garbage men. All they did was raise my rates 26%, and it didn't do any goddamn good. You see what I'm dealing with here? Unions are screwing this city over. 85% of our general fund goes to these goddamn unions.
And now we're broke. They do the work.
They don't do the work. They do less work every year.
Power to the people.
Yeah, that would be right. Yeah, you know, I mean, it got to the point where I thought I'd just set the garbage on fire. It was the only way to get rid of it. Yeah, the fire department would probably come for that.
Hopefully, so leave the garbage, a counter revolution in the garbage industry.
Yeah, I guess, you know. But I mean, it's, you know, this is the kind of frustration, you know, that average citizens have to deal with. So I've dealt with all of my utilities are up 25% to 26%.
All those public. All the people that work in those unions, their real wages have gone down.
Well, real wages have gone down for everybody over the last decade. Actually, even more than that. You could go back 30, 40 years and look at the charts, and it's insane, I mean, how bad it is.
Well, the one thing I want to get in this last minute that I think is critical that came out in a debate last night. There has not been a jobs program in this nation since Franklin Roosevelt.
Oh, we talking WPA?
WPA, CCC.
Yeah. Well,
I got to get this last thing in this last minute. These people that yap about mandates, when are they going to start yapping about a mandate that I have to have car insurance?
Oh, well, yeah, I don't think that's so much. It isn't an issue for me because I keep up on Supreme Court rulings, and I know that the Supreme Court will probably rule in favor of mandated health care insurance, you know.
But anyway,
in other words, the government is within its jurisdiction. The Supreme Court has already ruled on cases of this sort that the federal government is authorized to do this sort of thing.
We got 9 seconds left here, and so goodbye to everybody out there listening. And there's a lot of you. 33,000 listeners going in.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It's absolutely astounding. Now I just got to figure out some way to monetize it so that I can keep doing it.
Yeah, well, I hope I roused up all the socialists and the communists and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. You sure roused
me up. I want to bring them on, man. I'll be here next week.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Okay, Norm, you take care. Have a nice week. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye.